Why you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus in this chapter, he's commanded his disciples to go, and they're going to go to the cities where they're from to teach and to preach about him. And John sends a couple of disciples, his disciples. I begin to wonder, maybe for their sakes, because they're still following after John. John is in prison. And inquire with the Lord, are you the one that was promised, that has been sent, or should we look for somebody else? The testimony of John early on really stands out, and we need to remember that. And again, I wonder if John didn't do so because he still had disciples being in jail, and when he had pointed out the Lord Jesus Christ, as he did when the Lord Jesus came to be baptized of him and was there in the midst as others began, of John's disciples began to follow the Lord. Then the Lord talks to us and speaks to us, as we've seen more recently, about John the Baptist and that he is Elijah, and the work of John the Baptist in that. And he talks about the people of that generation, that they're a fault-finding group, and never satisfied. We see that attitude in our culture, our society, our nation, and the world today, don't we? Just not going to be unreasonableness. Just going to be cantankerous just want to be cantankerous. There's no appeasing. There's no making anything right ever. And then these woes are given out by our Lord, prophesied unto cities in the Lord's day, there in all the region of where Israel is, up in Galilee beyond, and Samaria and so forth, but mainly Galilee. And then in Capernaum, which is more at the time of where Judea is, over by the sea. And then in verse number 25, the Lord says, the scripture says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." So the Lord Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's praising him. He says, "I thank thee because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent," the wise and prudent of the world, those in those cities that rejected the Lord, in contrast with the mostly the as the people and the elite of that day in those cities would say, the Lord has it's the simple people that have received it. That's what they would say. And the Lord says, "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent of the world, and hast revealed them unto babes." And so those that had received the truth of the Lord and the word of the Lord, the ministry of the Lord, the preaching of the Lord, he calls them babes. And that's not bad. It's good for us to see where we're at. It does us well to see us as the Lord sees us. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." And that's the working of God. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," verse 27, "and no man knoweth the Son," no man knoweth the Son, "but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So only by the Lord Jesus Christ can we understand and know about the Father. He is revealed unto us, the Father is revealed unto us by the Son. Okay? And so if you know the Father, we are indeed thankful that we know our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. His Father has, by virtue of salvation, has become our Heavenly Father. And then so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. As you know, we come now upon a favorite passage of mine, and there's just so much rolled up in this. But the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think that that applies to the sinner that has been brought to by the Lord to understand about their sin and the burden of sin, the weight of sin, the condemnation of sin. You and I only know about the coming damnation of the Lord by what the Lord tells us about that coming damnation. He reveals that unto us. And that's a blessing to have that revealed unto us, because naturally we just don't know it, don't see it, don't care about it, don't know it. We're just wandering, aimlessly wandering in our own way. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Certainly that speaks to us as his children. We get burdened down, don't we? Have you found yourself burdened down? Lands, if you do anything in life, you'll find yourself burdened down. And I think we could talk to our seniors and find them active, and you know, they're not working anymore. Some of them are not tending house anymore. You know, they get burdened too, not having anything that they do. Those that care for others, those that figure out things for others. You know, this thing about trying to figure out what to do for your loved ones. You know, that's serious stuff. That's heavy. It's weighty. You don't take a vacation from it. Work. What's work going to be like? Problems at work. Uncertainty at work because of the economy. Those in our families that are not saved. Our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors. We've all got burdens. And for the Lord's children, it's wonderful to hear that from the Lord. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, burdened down, I will give you rest. And so we see that, and that's I love that verse, and it's a great comfort. And it's so rich. But then the Lord says here, and I believe that this is certainly relative to the salvation side of it, and it is the being saved by the Lord. The Lord just doesn't save us to be saved. The Lord just doesn't save us to be rescued, and then that's it. Just go ahead and glide, live your life the way you want to, do what you want to do, have a good time. I mean, the Lord's not opposed to us enjoying his blessings and stuff, but we're just not set, you know, on a free course of our choosing and our what we want. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you, and we all have a yoke. We're all yoked up somewhere. We who are married, we're yoked up in marriage. I don't mean that negative. Understand that, ladies. I don't need that. I don't mean that in a negative sense. But you got responsibilities. Okay, we have responsibilities. We have responsibilities in work and in life. We no longer have the yoke of sin like we did before we were saved. We've been rescued from that. But there is yet a yoke to be put on. The yoke of sin we've been relieved of, which was killing us and taking us to death and hell and all of that. And the Lord says, isn't this, and understand, the Lord, he commands us. He always instructs us in what's right. And by his instruction, we can for sure say that that's a command of the Lord. I mean, if the Lord tells us something, the Lord always tells us something good. And his intent and purpose is for us to obey it. He speaks, we receive it, right? But that word take, it's not that it's optional, but don't we hear in that to be enjoined in it? Aren't we to be willing children? Isn't that the blessing, to be willing children, rather than a child that is driven? We who are parents, it's always better for your children to be willing, isn't it? When you were a child, wasn't it always better? It was better to be willing than to be driven, because we know our parents could drive us to do what they said. But the Lord Jesus, he says to us, take my yoke upon you. Take it. I've rescued you from the yoke of bondage, destruction, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he gives us a little snapshot of him. I'm meek, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What's that mean? I'm to be proud and boastful and daring. Is that what that means? He's meek and lowly, so I'm to be dominant and pursuing and braggadocious. Is that what that means? No, we're to learn about his meekness, about how he came in a lowly state and low of heart. You know, that was not a put on with the Lord. It came from within, his humility. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Just a snapshot of the Lord. He mentions the things that we are naturally not. We are not meek and we're not humble. But he says, I'm humble and I'm power under control. And indeed, he is power under control. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you do, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest. It's good to rest, isn't it? It's good to rest. It's good to be found in rest, peaceful. It's not good to be not at peace with the Lord, is it? That's not good, is it? We are saved. We know about that. We've all had times that we weren't peaceful with our Lord, and to one degree or another. In backsliding, whatever aspect of that we may have found ourselves in times past, we know it wasn't a peaceful place, wasn't a peaceful time. We weren't well with our Lord. Pardon me, we knew our Lord was disapproving of our way or our attitude, our thinking. But he says, learn of me. Here's how I am, meek and humble. That's the way that you should be, you and I should be. And in doing so, you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And indeed it is. If we give all of our life from the time that the Lord has saved us till he takes us out of here, it is a drop in the bucket to what he has done for us. Amen? Amen. Amen and amen. His yoke is easy. That of a yoke, you know, a yoke that's not fitted well will take and rub and break the skin and cause infection. But the Lord says his yoke is easy. And he says his burden, he talked about come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. You got a burden. He said, my burden is light. My burden is light. And the Lord, if you will allow me, and as we consider this, his yoke and his burden is indeed life, isn't it? That's the reason that it's easy and it's light, because it's life. And so, this afternoon, just here for a little bit, let's consider about learning of our Lord. Learn of me. More about Jesus, let me learn. What is there to learn about Jesus? He says, learn of me. Now, you want to know about the Father? It's not that we shouldn't learn about the Father. You want to know about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, sure, we want to know about the Holy Spirit, and the Lord teaches things. But the Lord says, learn of me. Learn of Jesus. Learn of Jesus. You know, it takes time to learn about Jesus. And when we stand before the Lord, we'll be We'll be judged before our Lord as His children about how we used our time. And when we come there, we're certainly going to see, if we don't see here, that the time that we didn't learning about Jesus was wasted. But then it'll be too late. We do well to understand now that we need to learn about Jesus. What is there to learn about Jesus? Well, how about what the Scripture tells us? And that's where we're going to go to learn about Jesus. It's not going to be by any personal revelation. We will learn about Jesus as He works in our lives, indeed, in each individual. But it's all going to line up what the Lord does for us as His children and individually. It's all going to line up with what the Scripture tells us. What is there to learn about Jesus? More about Jesus, let me learn. How about how He was before time and eternity? That'd be good to learn about Jesus, wouldn't it? To learn about Him and what He was doing before time in eternity. To learn about Him in regards to what His work and pursuit was before time. That would be learning about Him. You know, maybe we don't know. And we should know. Remember, this isn't just our good pal. Jesus is not just our buddy. He's our Savior. What about learning about Jesus, about His relationship with His Father? That would certainly help us, wouldn't it? Because see, in everything that we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn example about how to be, don't we? We learn about the one who we should emulate. That our behavior, our own personal behavior, would be traded in, and that His way and behavior would be adopted by us. Right? His relationship with His Father. How about learning about Jesus and His relationship with His Holy Spirit? There is one there. There is a relationship there. But more about Jesus, let me learn. How about learning about Jesus, about how He made everything? Not just to know that He made everything, but how He did that. What He tells us about it. How about learning more about Jesus, about how He has been the mediator and the intercessor between God and man from the beginning of us? Not the beginning of Him, but the beginning of us. Do you know about Jesus being our mediator and intercessor from the beginning? Not to know about it, or not to know someone that knows about it, but to know about it, to learn about Him for yourself, for ourselves. To learn about Jesus, how He gave us the Scriptures. To learn about Jesus, how the Scriptures told us He would become a man. To know every detail about it that we could know. To dig into it. You know, I've been thinking here recently, and every time there would be a new machine or a new option that I would work on before I came here as your pastor, I would get the manual and would have to become familiar with it, because there was going to come a time soon I was going to have to show somebody how to run the machine. And so it was. There were a lot of cases where, if I didn't learn how to do it, I was going to be very, very embarrassed and probably not get paid. I tell you what, that's motivation, isn't it? What about having the same motivation about learning about Jesus? Like my livelihood depended on it. Like my spiritual well-being depended on it. I tell you what, I'd stay up late at night. I wouldn't read it going down the road, but I'd read it and be looking at it on the airplane. sometimes it was pretty nip and tuck getting it understood and learned up before I walked in the door of the customer. What I'm talking about is effort. It was very important for me to put forth that effort because my job depended on it. What about learning about Jesus? How important is that? To learn about how he would become a man. To learn about how he was conceived. How he became a man. The Son of Man. When you see that in the scripture, Son of Man, you see a whole bunch of it in Ezekiel referring to Brother Ezekiel. But then the only other one that's referred to that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He does a lot of it himself. Do you know why? It's talking about him. More about Jesus. Let me learn. It's not really a big book, but you know what? It really is a big book. It's not really that big a book, but it is a huge book because it's about our Lord. To learn about Jesus, about how it was that he was born. To learn what we can and what the scripture reveals about how he grew up. Yeah, Jesus grew up. He was of an age of these little ones that we have here, and then he grew up to be a teenager and a young man, full-grown man. To learn about Jesus and his calling from God Almighty. His calling. Do you have a calling? If you're saved, you have a calling. You and I are told to make it sure. You have a calling? We all have a calling if we're a child of God. What is that calling? You know what? We can find out about our own personal calling in learning about Jesus. To learn about more about Jesus and his ministry. Every minister should learn about Jesus and his ministry. He and the apostles are the examples to ministers, to missionaries, to preachers, to pastors. That's who we are to learn from. Learn about Jesus. Learn of me, he says. There's a lot to learn about him. To learn about Jesus, about his words. What Jesus said. What he said. The scripture, the Bible. Yes, and what he said when he became a man. To learn about Jesus, there's much that we can learn about Jesus and his character and his manner, isn't there? To learn about Jesus and his patience, his long suffering. To learn about Jesus in his dedication. Are you here and saved? Is Jesus dedicated to you? He sure is. He is dedicated. I mean, he is dedicated. He is the definition of dedication. We do well to learn about that, huh? Learn of me, he says. His compassion. I think about as he looked over the multitudes. The scripture tells us so many times how he looked over the multitudes and he looked at them as like they were sheep without a shepherd. He's very compassionate, very, very pitiful. The Old Testament scriptures say that he considered that there was no intercessor, he said. It's like the Lord is saying, look at this mess with mankind and there's nobody to intercede. Look. Look, this whole human race is on its way to hell. And there's nobody to intercede. So you know what he did? He brought salvation. He lifted us up. He sustained us. He delivered us. His pity. his desire, as I mentioned, to lead the sheep. You know, man, isn't there another way that the Lord could have adopted to describe about his leadership of people other than a shepherd leading sheep? Isn't that kind of humble? Dirty old sheep out in the field. You still do any studying about a shepherd? I tell you what, shepherds endure things. They endure a lot just for the sake of those animals that they raise. But that's what our Lord likens himself unto. What a picture. To learn about Jesus, about how he saves. To learn about Jesus, how he built his church. To learn about Jesus, about how he loves. And he loves greatly, doesn't he? He is the definition of love. To learn about Jesus, how he obeys his Father in everything. Not one disobedience. To learn about Jesus, how he completed his gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. What a wonder. What a mystery. What a blessing. The greatest blessing that ever has been, is, and will be, that Jesus would give himself for sinners, for his people. To learn about Jesus, about how he charged his church with a job to do. To learn about Jesus and how he has commanded his children to testify of and live for him. All by command and by example. To learn about Jesus and his promises to us. You know, Jesus has made promises to everybody in the house. Because he's told us what's going to be. When we come to that point, I hope that everybody can understand that we all need to learn about Jesus. Especially we who are saved. He says, learn of me. What have you learned about Jesus? What do you know about him? His promises to all of us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see here quickly about what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1. And listen to what it says here in these couple of verses. According as his, that is Jesus' divine power, 2 Peter 1:3, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given that. We need to learn about that, what he has given us. There's another one. Given us how? Through the knowledge of him. That's the reason he says, learn of me. It's kind of like, everything that you and I do, if it's not wrapped up in love and charity, love with legs on it, we are found empty and vain, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, not profited anything. Well, as a child of God, if we don't learn about Jesus, what? What else is there? Religion? Orthodoxy. And we are to be knowledgeable about our Lord and what he's given us, but not for it, but for his sake and what he wants for us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Learn of me, he says, that hath called us unto glory and virtue. He's called us unto glory and unto goodness and unto power. Whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, these great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these You might be partakers of the divine nature. Well, you know, when we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn about His divine nature, don't we? He is divine. He is holy, righteous, impeccable. That means He's without even the thought or ability of sin. To learn about Jesus, to learn about His promises to us, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. And you know what that's going to cause us to do? It's cause us to escape the corruption that is in the world through fleshly desire. Mixed up, messed up priority. May the Lord help us. As the Lord Jesus calls us and pleads us to learn of Him. Not learn about Him, but learn of Him, to adopt it, to take it to self, to have it to speak to our hearts, to change us, that we might be like Him. Our Father enjoys the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as His children being saved, if we are like Him, we'll have the blessing of the Father in that way too. But our greatest challenge is indeed, and it's just, it's nothing new, but our greatest challenge is found in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. The apostle writes unto us, and to our brethren, and centuries gone by, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the desire of the body, the lust of the eyes, we understand that, the eye gate is one that by which we see things, we understand things, ideas and spirits and thinking can come into our hearts. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we're able and capable and proud of what we can accomplish. The pride of life, it butts heads against meekness. You and I might be called to lay something down that we can do, and rather be obedient to our Lord and what He wants us to do. All these things are not of the Father, but of the world. These are the things I submit to you that get in our way in learning about Him. And it's a wrangle, isn't it? It's a challenge. It's a tussle. We must live. We must work. We must provide. But the Lord says, learn of Me. And the world passeth away is what we need to remember. And all the desire thereof mentioned before, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things that are not of the Father, but of the world. He says, the world passeth away, and the desire, the lust thereof. Listen, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Those machines I told you about, and those manuals that I learned, and all that information I tried to compile and get together so I could do my job, you know, all that's going to be gone. Won't even be thinking about point-to-point machines in eternity. But you know what? The things that we learn about Jesus are good for us now and carry right on into eternity with us. They're eternal. They're eternal. May the Lord help us. What is it that the Father said? He said it on a couple different occasions, but I refer you to Matthew 17:5. And while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. They're on the Mount of Transfiguration. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What's he say? Hear ye him. And you know what he says? He says, learn of me. And may we learn of him. Whether we've been saved for decades or we've been saved for days, months, years, or a biggest part of our lifetime, may we learn of him. May we learn of him.